G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway Podcast, the podcast that's all about intermittent fasting. I'm your host, Graham Curry from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilograms or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss. I'm also the author of the Amazon category best-selling book, The Fasting Highway, which will give you a great insight into what it's actually like to live it day to day, how to get started, what it's about, what are some of the health benefits that come from it, and how to turn it into a successful long-term lifestyle. In this series of podcasts, you'll be hearing from people from all over the world, from the beginners to the experienced and those that are on the journey. You'll also be hearing from some leaders in the intermittent fasting community, and you'll also be hearing from some past guests as we recheck in to see how they've been going. And thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway. Enjoy the show. G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. And this is episode 215, brought to you by our Patreon members community. Without the support of our patrons, we simply could not be bringing you this podcast each and every week. If you'd like to get some extra layers of accountability and support for your intermittent fasting lifestyle, the Patreon community is the right place to be. We have bonus content in there, bonus podcasts, there's audio series, 5-minute focus topics, and plus the Zoom accountability meetings each month, both in the Northern and Southern Hemisphere, where people from all over the world come together, share their stories, troubleshoot issues, get feedback and support in those Zoom meetings, and it's been fantastic. They're hosted by myself twice a month, but there's also a lot of other content in the Patreon members community. And I just wanted to thank all of you members and every member of the Patreon community for making it such a success. And how to join, you can go to the link in the show notes there. Okay, folks, let's get on with today's podcast. I'm going to be speaking with Helen Bichars. And Helen lives in the United States of America and with her husband, John, and their beagle, Bingo. And Helen's had a lot of trials and tribulations with her weight, as you'll hear in this story. And she's had an amazing journey so far with intermittent fasting, and she's still on that journey, as you'll hear in this podcast. But I really don't want to spoil the story further, so here's the amazing Helen Bichars. Oh, g'day, Helen, and welcome to the Fasting Highway, and thank you so much for joining me there all the way from Michigan.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Graham.
Oh, I'm delighted to have you here, Helen. And just for the folks listening around the world in some 53 countries, Helen, if you wouldn't mind just sharing a bit of your history and sort of what led you up to discovering and taking up intermittent fasting.
Oh, man. Well, it started about 5 years ago in 2018, my health journey, when I had a diagnosis of type 2 diabetes. And my A1C was a 9.4. I was well over 350 pounds, and I had to figure out something because I had a lot of life in me, and I couldn't do it at that particular size and accomplish all of the things I wanted to do in life. So it was important that I did something. And so upon that, I landed with a new doctor that was still a resident, and she was leaving that particular practice, and she took a chance on me and I took a chance on her, and she had to tell me something to hurt my feelings in order to bring me to reality. She says, well, you're really, really overweight, and I can give you something, or your insurance is good enough where you can get weight loss surgery. So I was really offended. And I was like, well, I've never really tried to lose weight on my own. Not that it's anything wrong with weight loss surgery, but I was really offended, and I needed to be offended because she was using that as a tactic to do reverse psychology, which was part of her curriculum as a resident. And I didn't know that at the time. So it was just the start of what do we do? So me and Dr. Shi, which I still go to her now, and I told her that I would mention her on this show. She is just wonderful. And she told me, she said, look, we're going to have to do something. And I said, well, give me 90 days and I'm going to try to cut down sugar. And so I gave up sugar for 21 days. It was probably one of the hardest things I've ever done. And so that got me, lost me 20 pounds and got me started doing something to getting my blood sugar on level. So that's how it started.
Okay. Where's your doctor based, in Michigan or?
Yes, she is at Trinity Health Systems here in Michigan, in Livonia, Michigan. Yes.
Great. Big shout out to your doctor and thank you for looking after Helen. Really appreciate that. And I think sometimes we have to hear something like that to shock us into reality, Helen. You know what I mean? And I
Yes.
think your doctor did a great job on using that reverse psychology on you. And we'll get to the, just where you found intermittent fasting in a minute. But I just wanted to touch on what you said about you sort of thought sugar cutting down on that was the issue. And then you did that 21 days detox. And I know what a detox from sugar is like. It's hell, right? It really is. So
Yeah.
just tell us something about that. And what happened after that, after you did the sugar detox? Was this all before you started intermittent fasting?
Yes, this was
Okay.
before I started intermittent fasting.
Okay.
I
So
had to
what?
get it wrong a few times to get it right, but it all disciplined me. So I started with this 21-day sugar detox, and what that did was motivate me to stick with something. It didn't really matter what it was. I needed to stick with something positive. And I needed to know that I can finish what I start. So that is what transitioned in me. And I really am very competitive, especially mentally. And when my doctor challenged me with that, I just felt like I was pushed in a corner. And it was a good feeling that I needed to feel. So after I talked with her and we came up with a solution, I said, just give me 90 days. So when I went back to her and I lost 20 pounds, and she told me that she had to do this last tactic as part of her studies as a resident, and that she had to use reverse psychology to psych someone into doing something that would better themselves, I was like, oh my gosh. And it really worked for her. So it was a milestone for her and a milestone for me. So we shared that together. And with that bond, it came different challenges. So what is my culprit? If my culprit is too much sugar, then let's try to form a habit to eliminate that from our life. If it's carbs, let's try to form a habit to eliminate. So I've tried all of these things over 5 years to get to 110 pounds of weight loss, and not just getting to 110 pounds, but maintaining it, which in my opinion is the most difficult part of the process. So I'm maintaining as I'm trying to continue to lose. And I think a lot of people don't talk about that. And that's how I landed to intermittent fasting, where I am now. So, it's just a process and it's been a journey for me, 5 years. I still have about 50 pounds, in my opinion, that I want to lose, where I would be at the ideal weight that I planned for me. And I've been losing 10% of my body weight for 5 years, which is very difficult and to maintain. So I think it's a different perspective that I bring because I'm still in my journey. So I still struggle. I still have cravings. And that's important for me to vocalize, especially to the world.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, the important thing is that the sugar is still a work in progress for you. And you've heard me say on this podcast many times, and I've worked with our members in our Patreon community. We did a four-part audio series on breaking free from sugar, where I took people through my personal experiences and how I found and I was able to break the habit. And it is a habit, let's face it. When you drag that into an intermittent fasting lifestyle, it can still raise its head. So, intermittent fasting, where did you first hear about it? And what did you like about it? And how did you start? What was your protocol? How did you get going?
I heard about it when I was on a keto diet. So I kind of needed to detox from carbs, and that was the biggest thing then. And I still do a modification of my diet of watching my carbs and keeping them, like about 80 net carbs a day. But I wouldn't consider to be in ketosis all the time. But, I started with that. And I believe that I was watching YouTube and I saw someone and they were talking about this book, Fast, Feast, and Repeat, and by Jen Stevens. And that book led me to you. And it's just been a beautiful transition because one of the church members at the church that I work at in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, Beautiful Savior Lutheran Church, we'll give a shout out to them. And Shelly Beck, who's a wonderful member of the church, she does intermittent fasting too. So we always support each other because she tells me different podcasts. And so we kind of take notes and help each other in our health journey. And so that's how I met you, Graham, or I was introduced to you and start listening to your podcast. And it's just been a beautiful journey. And so she led me to you. And that's how I was like, oh, this would be wonderful to share this, because I usually don't hear about people still in, having a significant amount of weight to lose, especially from people that were morbidly obese, or, the medical terminology for more morbidly obese. And, it's very difficult. And that's something that people think they're in a corner, like they only have one option. So I like to let people know that I'm still in my journey. It's been tough. But I keep reinventing myself and trying new things and trying it better and messing up and getting better. And it's taken me to chop a little bit off every year. And that gives me enough encouragement because my he heaviest, I was a size 28, and now I wear a size 16. And although I'm still in my journey, I get to appreciate myself because it has been a gradual transition for me, and there is beauty in that. I'm not a person that requires immediate gratification. I used to be an algebra teacher, so I have to have patience.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And look, we've interviewed people on this podcast, and what I love about it is that we've had people that have just begun first 3 months, first 6 months, first year. A lot of them still have quite an amount of weight to lose. That's why we like to follow people up in 6 to 12 months' time and recheck in with them and just see how the journey unfolds. Because, like you said, it's important for people to know that it's not a straight line. Sometimes it can be difficult. And most of all, it can take time, a lot of time. But when we're changing our lifestyle and our habits and everything, it does take time. And a big shout out to Shelley there and all the members of your church. And thank you for supporting Helen as well, Shelley, and bringing her to the Fasting Highway. So when you started intermittent fasting, what was your protocol? What were you doing?
So I started doing 16:8, and I'm sorry, I had to remove my ring light. So I started with 16:8, and at first it was a struggle. And so I started having good fats when I opened my window, and that kind of helped a little bit. So I ate a lot more avocados and things like that, where it would sustain me longer. And eventually I stayed there for probably just years, just chipping off the 10% every year. That was my goal. And until I started to stretch it and learn about the autophagy phase, and my body is kind of eating off its own fat and waste, and that just amazed me about anatomy and all of that. So I just wanted to be healthier. So I just did a little bit at a time because I have to make gradual changes because it's been a lifetime of doing the wrong things. I was a 10-pound baby when I was born, I was always kind of a bigger person. And so, when you've always been that way, you have a different outlook on things. And it takes me a little time to get there. And I'm okay with being patient and waiting.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what it's about. It's about giving it the time it takes, right? I mean, we're not in,
Yes.
there's no prizes here. There's no Olympic medals. There's nothing. There's no finishing line. It's a lifestyle. So once you start this lifestyle and as you transition over the years, and like you said, forming new habits after you've been living with poor habits for years and years and years. Let's just talk about that for a minute. I mean, 350 pounds is a debilitating weight, right? That must have been having a huge impact on your life, what you're able to do. And it must have been emotionally impacting on you as well. Let's just talk about some of the things that you were sort of struggling with when you're at that weight. Like what weren't you able to do, so to speak?
Well, the thing is, Graham, it's a little different for me because I'm a social butterfly. I love people. And I really can't give you a sob story like I didn't have much confidence. I was just as much full of life when I was 350 pounds. And I really don't know my heaviest weight because at one time I stopped weighing myself. But that's the biggest I remember the scale saying. And so I really can't give you an accurate count. But I do know that I just knew to live life to the fullest or what I wanted to achieve, that I had to do something. So I wasn't really unhappy. I was, you know, I mean, I still had a wonderful family. I still had support. And it was just like that was, but when it came to health for me, that's what made the transition. It was like, oh no, I can't be selfish and just think this is about me. My family loves me too, and they need me too. So I have to do a little more because I know this is how I've always been. So I got to get a little uncomfortable. And for me, it's a little difficult. So I have to do it gradually, and that's okay.
Yeah, I love that. I really love it. I love your perspective on this. And I think it's important for people to know that we all have to find our own path on this journey, right? Some people
Yes.
take longer than others. Some people take shorter time than others. Some people have more weight to lose. Some people do different protocols. But when you came to intermittent fasting, you started with the 16 and 8. Did you get the message of the clean fast then? Was that something that came later?
That is something that came later. I think, you know, when I decided to challenge myself, I always give myself something. I do month on, month off. Like January, I gave up sugar for 30 days. Me and my husband did it together and added sugar. And so now I'm living in that transition. And next month, I will challenge myself to exercise for 30 days straight for no more than 30 minutes a day. So I always do something to challenge myself, and that makes it fun. So you learn a different way of doing something, and you can incorporate new things in your life. You can push yourself. And when you got a track record where you've followed through on everything that you committed to, your standards are kind of high. You're like, look, I got to think about this before I make this commitment. It's got to be doable. And that's why I put the 30-minute cap on it. But that's just how I live my life like that. I have to challenge myself and kind of fool myself sometimes.
Yeah. I like what you said about that you were a bubbly person, you know, when you were carrying the weight as well and you were living life as a, you know, social butterfly and that sort of thing. And I was the same. I mean, people say to me, you know, that I might have changed socially in terms that I'm not the party animal that I was, right? I was like those guys in the
right.
Blues Brothers and, you know, Animal House. And when I was younger, my wife used to call it the Charlie Sheen era. And so nowadays I'm much more sedate, but that's okay. I don't have to do that. But, you know, we
yes.
all have to find our pathway. But I think I'm still the same person. I still have the same morals. I still have the same, you know, the way I think about things. I still have the same teachings for my children, whether I'm obese or not. So to me, when I look at before and after pictures of people, I see people as they were before and as they are now, but internally they're still the same people, right?
Yeah. And that's why it's important to share the different types of people, because I've heard stories that touched my heart where people really were, you know, had self-esteem issues and they were miserable when they were overweight. I have really, really good memories when I was at my highest weight, and I wasn't judged. I wasn't bullied. So I don't have that story, but my story is my story, and it's just as beautiful, even with its imperfections. And it's, you know, it's just what I've been through, and it's okay, you know. So I am just loving the journey, because it's the journey that heals you. You know, I'm in it. And so I'm just learning new things. I'm learning, you know, like giving up sugar has helped me in so many ways. I don't even have my glasses on today, Graham, because my eyesight got better. And so my glasses are too strong now. So that's a benefit of giving up sugar. So, and you know, and my skin is better. So there's things that I'm learning. I'm like, oh, this does this, or the combination of this food helps with my blood sugar. And I didn't know that before. I didn't know that what I eat before, what I'm eating now, affects my blood sugar. So
Yeah.
I'm learning and growing as I go.
Yeah. You know, I say this a lot on the podcast, and people might think I'm a weirdo or something, but when I see people on the screen, the positivity, and you're absolutely glowing with this lifestyle, right? Your skin is amazing. And you see that
Oh,
over and
thank
over
you.
again in people, and you know, reverse aging, and people look a lot younger than what they are. And I think intermittent fasting does a lot more than just weight loss. And it's too coincidental because we hear it dozens and dozens, and if not hundreds of times. And I see it in person, so I know, and I can witness to that. So yeah, and I mean, losing that amount of weight too that you have, 100 pounds, can be life-changing, let's face it. And it can open the doors and let you do a lot of other things. But I just wanted to circle back about the when you said that you didn't do the clean fast initially. When you made the transition, what did that make a difference for you in terms of how intermittent fasting was hard for you?
No, it was because I kept challenging myself. So I would do like fasting for, I think the longest I did was 72 hours. And so I would stretch myself and I would do it periodically because, again, my life works on a system. So I usually have a dates that I'm allowed to have certain carbs or free days, if you will. And I already have them pre-calculated. And I even got some space holders in case something like a wedding or something comes up. And it's usually about 10% of the year. So I would say that 90% of the time I do pretty good, but there's that 10% that I give myself. And it gives me something to look forward to, you know, Valentine's Day, kids' birthdays, all of this stuff throughout the year. And then I fast all those other times. And you can kind of eat sometimes what you want when you're fasting because you don't have a big window. And if you're eating like one meal a day, like I do now, then you're going to make it something good. I mean, I'm eating salmon and grilled vegetables and rice if I want. I mean, that's my only meal of the day. If I want walleye, I'm gonna have walleye. If I want prime ribs, prime rib.
Yeah.
So it just depends on, you know, what you want. But for me, I'm gonna make it count, and I have it organized. And that's just what works for me. If I say, oh, like it was Valentine's Day, oh, I had a big brownie. And we had ice cream, me and my husband, and we shared it, and it was delicious. And it was that time for the brownie and the ice cream. So that made it even more special because I
Yeah.
don't do that all the time.
And it's important.
So,
Special occasions are special. And I think, you
yes.
know, we hear the saying that, you know, Saturdays aren't a special occasion, etc. But for me, they are, because Saturdays are the time I catch up with my family, the time I see my children. They were the times when I was seeing my kids play sport. You know, they were the times where I'd like to relax or watch my rugby that I love, all those
Yes.
things. So Saturdays for me, I look forward to them, right? So they are special. But it doesn't mean I have to revolve around food all day. It just means that they're a
Yeah.
special occasion to me. But I think with this lifestyle, and I really love what you're saying about 90% to 10%, and I call it the 90-10, right? So if you're doing okay 90% of the time and 10% of the time, you may not be doing quite so well. But what we're seeking here is progress, not perfection, right? And I think over
Right.
time, if you're seeking, you're getting that progress, but we don't have to be perfect because we're humans. We're imperfect. We're never going to be perfect. Nothing is perfect. And anybody that says they're perfect out there, well, I'm here to tell you that you're not, because none of us are perfect and we all have imperfections.
Telegram.
Yeah. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, we really have to find our own pathway as you have. But So you started off, and when you first started, and you mentioned there now you like that really high quality type of food that you seek, the salmon and so forth. Has that been a transition too, where you've evolved from maybe poor nutrition to finding out what really works for you?
Yeah, I mean, I had my time with the Impossible Burger, and I was, still trying to incorporate fast food. But it's funny when you give up things and you eat good food and you eat it and form a habit with it, you really don't want crappy food. And that's the beauty of it. It's like when you eat good food that is from the earth and from a farm, and and when you eat wild caught, and it's, you can't really go back, especially if you formed a habit. And that was one of my challenges too, to eat clean for 30 days. And when doing that, it transitioned my whole menu and my family's menu, which in turn is good for all of us. So, it's just been a beautiful thing, and I eat in color now, and it looks so much better. I didn't used to eat in color. It was all muted. And I'm an artist, so I look at things in a color perspective. So now my plate looks like a work of art.
Wow. It's like me talking. It really is. And I'm exactly the same. That's exactly what happened to me. My plate is color now. And what you said before, we weren't seeing that color, were we? We weren't savoring the taste. To me, food was just volume. I was just shoveling it in. It was just volume. That's all it was. I wasn't tasting it. I wasn't savoring it. I wasn't looking at it. It was just grabbing it and eating it, right? And now I think you transition to that point where you go, you know what? I've just fasted all day. So I want to complement that fast by having a really great worthy window, or what I consider worthy. And like you said, eating what you want. Okay. So for me, that's high quality, healthy food, nutrient dense food, really great food. And like we eat a lot of food from our garden, that type of thing. And it's great. But for some other people, it may not be that, but that's okay. Like I said, we're not perfect. But yeah, there's a lot of benefits to this. And speaking of which, I just wanted to talk about when you moved from the 16 and 8, you mentioned there you've done a couple of longer fasts. Sort of where have you settled in? Have you found a protocol that really suits you now and you're sort of your niche to go to?
Well, I try not to get too comfortable because my body works in a way where it gets really familiar very quickly. So I have to switch it up. So right now I do 24 pretty much. So I just have a 4 hour window. I usually break my fast with my family. We have dinner about 4. And I might have some fruit, probably about 7, And so it's usually 20, 20, 1 hours. And I'm comfortable with that. I feel strong with that, but I get used to that, So I have to switch my fast sometimes from PM to AM. And that's the struggle for me to transition from, I can't, I'm not used to eating at work. I don't eat lunch. I don't eat all day. And my job is so beautiful because everybody there is health conscious. So it's like we complement each other. So nobody really eats at work. So for me to have to be the only one to eat at work and then come home and not eat with my family is challenging for me. But sometimes I have to do that in order to start seeing physical results, meaning the scale. But I really don't totally concentrate on the scale. I'm not obsessed with weighing myself. I'm more concerned about my blood sugar, and thank God I have that under control, and with my diet, and that's the most important to me. But it is nice to have that added benefit of seeing the scale don't go down too. I must admit, Graham.
Yeah. So let's talk about sugar for a minute. I mean, you mentioned that a few times now. Would you have classified yourself prior to all of this as a sugar addict or a person that just loves sugar?
A sugar addict.
Yeah.
Yes, that is definitely what it was. And my definition of that comes from the fact that when I gave up sugar, it came out of my pores and I had like a rash. And it really affected me. And so when I got off of it, everything that really was giving me problems, like inflammation, like my knees and my legs and, and swelling in my body, I had to wear wide calf boots because I couldn't get long boots because they wouldn't fit up my calves. And, that was all inflammation. And so when I changed, my diet and everything and start fasting, and it just everything just transitioned for me from there.
Yeah. The non-scale victories we talk about and the health benefits. I mean, aside from the weight loss, you've obviously seen a lot of those. You touched on a couple of them there. And just the way, I know that you said you're a bubbly person and all of that, but I think that when you lose that amount of weight, it really does change a lot of your perspectives in terms of your health benefits that you see with intermittent fasting, because I see them stacking up even now, every day. There's something that happens. I think to myself, wow, that is amazing. Now, I've never seen that before.
Right. It's funny because my husband says, it's my legs because they were really big and it was so much inflammation in them and now they're like slim. And he's like, wow, it's your legs are so slim now. And he always reminds me of how when I used to have to wear those wide calf boots. So, but it's nice to see the transition of how things are changing, but gradually. And I like that because of intermittent fasting and the autophagy phase for me, I don't have a lot of excess skin like someone that would lose over 100 pounds would. And that's a plus for me, especially since I just hit 50 last October. So thank God for that.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I mean, some people have a lot of excess skin, some don't. But I always say to people that say to me, "Oh, I'm worried about excess skin." I'll say, "Well, I'd rather have a little bit of excess skin and carry around an extra 150 pounds on my body and put stress on my
Right.
organs and shorten my lifespan." So you got to weigh it up. But I was lucky. I'm a big guy, 6'5". I didn't really have a lot of
Yes.
loose skin. I had some under my arms, top of my legs, but in my torso, not so much. So I think as time goes on, I'm really seeing that autophagy. Hard to say that word, isn't it? And that's really
Yes.
in work, and I see that as a work in progress. And even though I'm maintaining my weight in the same range for some years now, I'm actually seeing my body changing all the time, which is really interesting. And that's that process, isn't it, that we see? Yeah, it's really, really interesting. I know that you sound like a person that delves into a lot of science. Tell us some of the research you've done and some of the stuff that you've looked at, or are you a person that likes researching?
I do, but I like researching through conversation and dialogue like we're doing. So that's why I listen to your podcast. I listen to Jen Stevens' podcast, and you guys are the only two that I listen to. So that's my community. You and your people are my community. And I kind of keep it n narrowed down to that for now. I'm very guarded at where I get information from because you got to be careful with too much information nowadays. So I just, I listen to audiobooks, because I have a long route to get to work. So I take advantage of that time and yeah, I listen to you. And like I said, so that's really how I get my information and
Yeah.
then, maybe a couple of YouTube videos, but not much. I do my own research and try things, trial and error. And so far it's been good. So.
Yeah. It's interesting, actually. I had a conversation with Jen Stevens the other night in my Patreon community. We had an exclusive chat for our Patreon members about and sort of this topic as well. And there is a lot of information overload out there, and you can get too much. And now with A1, A1 has created hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books on Amazon about different topics, including fasting. So A1 can now belt out a book in about 15 minutes, right? Written by a robot. All they do is punch in, write a book about intermittent fasting, put a cover on it, sell it on Amazon. So if you have a look on Amazon, you'll see like 70, 80, 100 books that are all the same name. Intermittent fasting for women over 50. They're all written by robots, not written by people. So it's really important
Oh.
when you get information is to know where you're getting it from and who you're getting it from, right? And for me, it's about, I want information from people that have lived this journey. Like you just said, listening to people on podcasts that have been there, done it, reading about people that have been there, done it. Yeah. For science, Dr. Fung's great, but Dr. Fung's never been obese. That's what I mean. Like, I can't relate to somebody that hasn't been obese. So I can relate to their expertise and their knowledge for sure. And I take it on board. But when I really want to get motivated and inspired, I want to see somebody that's done this. I want to see somebody that's maintained it for years. I don't want to see, you know, not so much somebody that's lost the weight and then maybe they're having a struggle keeping it off. That's where I need that accountability for myself personally, where I get information from. And when I see people that have been, you know, done this and have maintained it for a period of time, then the credibility comes. And I think even listening to people on the journey halfway through or just beginning, you can really see that credibility building, if you know what I mean. You just get that really powerful, you know, those people are doing this, I can do it. Like, I know somebody's out there right now listening to this and saying, Helen is my story. That's me. I'm a person that, you know, a few struggles. I'm not worried about it. I'm chipping away. I don't care how long it takes. And this is my journey. Like you said, we all have our own story, right?
Yes. Yes. Amen to that, Graham. That's definitely true. That's well said.
Yeah. So what's the next thing for you I was going to ask about is, obviously people want to know, is exercise. Is that something that's important for you? You mentioned there you do a couple of things and challenges. Is it a daily thing for you or is just something that you do on periodically?
Even with that, I have to switch it up, Graham, because I'm so stubborn at it. I have to trick myself into not really knowing I'm doing it. And for the people out there, I know it's somebody out there that does not like to exercise. That is probably me. So let me tell you what I have to do. So I have to be creative. So I have to do different things. So I started out dancing off one song a day, and then I got up to six songs and 3 days a week. I love dancing. So if I'm moving and I don't know I'm really exercising, I started off doing bed yoga. And so I do that a couple of days a week sometimes. I have 30 different things that I have to do because I have to fool myself. Now, one thing about me, I'm going to keep my commitment. When I say that I'm going to work out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'm going to work out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, but I got to switch it up or I'll get bored and I'll just get frustrated and figure out something else to do that day. So I have to be creative. And that's been the biggest challenge. And that's why I'm doing this 30 days of working out for 30 minutes a day. So I have to keep that commitment of just 30 minutes. I can't go over because I'll overdo it and I'll be like, oh, I got more in me. And it's not about that. This journey is just to discipline me to commit to exercising when I say. So that's what I'm working on next. But so far it's been dancing 3 days a week. I'm up to six songs. So I, you know, it's probably not as much exercise as I should have. I'm, you know, that's for the people that do 2 hours of exercise a week. That's me. I really don't like doing more than that. I probably should if I want to start challenging myself. So that's why I do these challenges and reinvent myself all the time so that I can constantly get better. So
I love it. Love it. You know, people often say to me, oh, Graham, it's too hot to exercise. It's too cold to exercise. I say, here, listen to Helen. She puts six songs on and dances like no one's watching around a lounge room. She loves it. I mean, that's fantastic. Yes. Six songs is like 20 minutes of dancing, right?
Yes.
What
yes.
sort of music do you like? What's going on here?
Well, I just do like, you know, Apple playlists. I have like a dancing playlist, everything from the 70s, dance, disco music to like pop music. And it just comes on and, you know, Whitney Houston, I want to dance with somebody and I'm just moving. And as long as I'm constantly moving and when Alexa goes off in 30 minutes,
fantastic.
Then I stop, you know? And so, you know, I mean, but it just depends on, I don't want to get songs that are going to be too long because then that'll make me have to dance longer.
Yeah, I love it. Your neighbors are all going, Helen's exercising again. It's all right. Don't worry about it. That's fantastic. Absolutely love that. You mentioned their support a couple of times. Your fantastic husband, big shout out to him. Obviously, a huge support and motivator for you as well. And just where, apart from sort of, books and that sort of thing, where do you find you get your most support around your friends, family, that sort of thing? Have you never had any kickback about IF from anybody?
No, actually, I've gotten so much support. And even the children, they like my daughter, she has been intermittent fasting, her and her boyfriend, and he has lost weight, and she does Pilates, and she is just wonderful and the epitome of health now because of intermittent fasting. So it's kind of just been infectious, and my husband does it, and so it's just transitioned a lot of people and it's made them better. So it's just been, we got a cute little beagle named Bingo. Shout out to Bingo. Love my little dog. He helps me too because walking him and he's nose to the ground. So he's a puller. So he gives me my workout when I walk him, but he's helped me to get down a lot of pounds too. So, and my mom, I got my wonderful parents, and they are just beautiful and just encourage me. Everyone has been just great, and I've encouraged people, and that's what I want. I want to help people. That's why I'm sharing my story, so that hopefully it's someone can identify with what I've been through in my journey.
100%, and they will. I can hear people right around the world now nodding your head, saying that's where I was. And you'll be surprised, Helen, 2, 3 years' time, you'll have somebody contact you and say, "I heard you on the Fasting Highway podcast, and you motivated me to get started." And that's what this is all about. It's about sharing stories and helping others and getting around each other. We know what obesity is like, and it's crushing. It's a real burden, and it's really damaging to our health and our bodies and our organs. And if we can help reverse that by doing things like this and talking about our stories, it's great, isn't it? But you're obviously a long way away from maintenance if you're saying, you're 50 pounds off. But I always say to people, it's something to think about because in the future, you sort of got to say to yourself, well, okay, when I get to that point, what am I going to do then? But you sound to me like the epitome of the experiment of one that we mentioned, that saying in the intermittent fasting community. You're a person that's evolving all the time. So I guess you're sort of going to wait till you get to that point, right?
And like I said, I'm enjoying the journey, but I'm preparing for that. If you think about it, by keep, reinventing myself and challenging myself, I'll get to, transition to the next level. So that's a good position to be in. And, I'm confident that when I'm there, but I'm actually there, if you think about it, Graham. If you think about it, you've got to maintain while you're doing it. Because if you don't, you'll get set back. So I'm really in maintenance while I'm getting to my goal. And I gotta continue to not, because it's so many people that say, I've lost 20 pounds, but not too many people say, I've gained 20 pounds,
Yeah.
or the 20 pounds that I lost, I gained it back. And so it's hard to consistently lose weight and not gain it. That's the part for me. If you're, a scale watcher, some people can handle that. I just really just can't, not every day, because it's just too, I know the fluctuation of my weight, and that just doesn't work for me. But, I am enjoying maintaining while I'm losing and reinventing myself and trying new things and figuring out what works for me. I really am.
Yeah, well, I understand that. I really do. And like we keep getting back to, what works for you. And that's important for people to understand that it's no use comparing yourself and getting online and looking at people's before and after photos and saying, why isn't that happening for me? Well, one, you don't know what they're doing. You don't know what they're eating. You don't know what fasting protocols they're doing. You don't know the amount of exercise they're doing. You don't know their health history. You don't know whether they eat fast food, drink alcohol, or what they do. You don't know the stresses in their lives, their work, their relationships, all of that. So when you look at people you don't even know, when you get really disheartened through comparison, it's really futile, isn't it? Comparing yourself. You just got to run your own race here, Helen.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with that. And like I said, just I have to enjoy the moment and appreciate what's in front of me. I can't really worry about how it used to be or what's it going to be. I gotta kind of stay in the moment right now. I'm here and I'm enjoying my life even at a size 16, and I enjoyed my life when I was much heavier. And you know, that's important. That's kind of tells the story that you gotta meet people where they are, love them where they are now. You know, not just when they change or get to that goal that they've set for themselves.
Yeah, and that's why we get wonderful support from our partners, right? Because they loved us through all stages of this, whether we're thick or we're thin, they don't care. They just love them. Love is unconditional. Same for our children. But I think as a parent, are you setting that, role, being a role model for your children and your husband and yourself doing it together? Do you find that that's easier doing it with your husband as well?
It is because we eat together. And my husband, by the way, shout out to my husband, John. He is an excellent chef. And he cooks all of our meals, and we eat good over here. Really good, you know, grass-fed food, and everything is really, really good. And I thank God for that. And he's just really, really so supportive. And he transitioned his eating because he saw what his wife was doing and that it was helping my health. And he was like, well, you know, let's do it together. And then it transitioned to, you know, everybody in my house fast because, you know, my 17-year-old, he doesn't do it, you know, voluntarily. He's just kind of conditioned to do it because I started this world years ago and he was still young and we just ate one day once a day, and he just didn't take a lunch and didn't want to eat at school because he was really picky, but it just kind of conditioned him as well.
Yeah, sounds like you got the whole family going. So we might have to do a family podcast at some stage. You guys might have to start one yourself. But fantastic. I can't tell you how inspirational you've been here today, Helen. It's really great to hear this story. And I think you're going to do some great things in the future. But you mentioned there about the clothes sizes. I mean, going down from 28 to 18, was it? I mean, that's amazing. I mean, how did you handle that as you're going down in clothes sizes? Were you getting them out the door to charity and that sort of thing as they were getting too big on you? You weren't keeping them?
Oh, it's funny you asked that, Graham. So at the church that I work, we have lots of donation drives and places that we give clothes to. So I keep them full of things, and I'm always bringing bags, but I don't look back, and I'm really happy to bless people with things that I never even got the opportunity to wear. And you know, that's been really, you know, a blessing to me. I love to give, and so it's been good to let those things go and to buy new ones and, you know, give back to the earth and try to buy something secondhand if I can. I love to do that. And you know, it's just been nice just to see new things and go new places. Vacations are nice, buying clothes for vacations with my husband. We both have transitioned, and you know, and it's just beautiful to see us as a couple, how we look at each other, even though we've always been madly and hopelessly in love with each other. It's just even more beautiful because it's like you appreciate, you know, the person that goes through this with you.
Yeah, and it could be some tough times. Let's face it, I still have days now, several years into this where I think, man, this is tougher today than it usually is. And you scratch your head and you wonder why, but I know why. And no day is a straight line, right? Something happens, a life event happens, something at work happens. There's all these things going on in the background. And like you've done all this through COVID too. And I mean, COVID was a tough time. That was a really tough time for people. I mean, people were freaking out, right? I know I was. And I wasn't in the situation you guys were. I mean, we were here in Western Australia, the most isolated place in the world. So we were away from everybody, right? So we weren't really that badly affected, but we were still worried about it. But I can't imagine what it was living in a hot spot and, everyone around you is either sick or people are dying. That must have been a tough time for you and your family through COVID doing all this.
You know, it was so tough, but it had a blessing at like a light at the end of the tunnel, if you will, because during that time I got to do a lot of stuff for me. I am a painter, so I was in the garage painting the most beautiful pieces I ever made. And my neighbors got to see that because they were out walking because nobody could work. And they were like, you know, it was beautiful. I got to walk my dog. And, you know, so it was like I transitioned during that time. That's like kind of where I elevated and start really seeing the results. You know, that was kind of like at my 50-pound mark. And it was just, you know, where I decided to really start making some changes because a lot of people use that time to reflect and to learn more about themselves. And I did. So it wasn't all bad, you know.
Yeah, I love it. Painting's fantastic, isn't it? I know a
Yes.
well-known artist in LaGrange, Georgia. He sent me this painting that he'd done in coffee of me. It was a portrait, and he didn't know that I was ever obese. This guy, I only knew him since I'd lost all my weight, right? And he happened to see this photo of myself on there, and he got this photo, and he'd done this portrait of myself in coffee, and it blew me away because it was the first time that somebody had done something in an image and they didn't see me as that obese person. They just saw me as the person I am now. And it's one of my treasures in life, this painting in coffee. I didn't even know that you could paint in coffee.
Yes, that's a medium. Anything that has pigment, you can paint with. Maybe I'll have to send you a picture, Graham.
You will.
Send you one to Australia.
Okay, that would be fantastic. Love to see it. And I love the
Yes.
fact that John's a good cook too, because when I'm calling Sri Michigan on the Fasting Highway North American tour, I'll be giving you a ring and saying, John, get going on the stove, mate. We're coming over.
Yes, for
Yeah.
sure. You're always welcome.
But as I said, you've been amazing. I cannot wait to follow you up in 6 to months, 6 to 12 months' time, because I think it's really
Yeah.
important that we follow our guests up on the fasting highway to see that continuity of where they're going with their fasting lifestyle. And I think you're going to be amazing. You are amazing. But yeah, my highest regards to yourself and your family there. And thank you for joining me here on the fasting highway.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you so much, Helen. And thank you for coming on to the Fasting Highway podcast today and sharing your amazing story. I found it inspiring and motivational at the same time and very candid. And thank you for sharing your experience. And I cannot wait to talk to you in 6 to 12 months' time to see what you're up to then. And I think you really captured in the episode that it's not always a straight line intermittent fasting. And sometimes there can be a few struggles along the way, but I'm sure you're going to overcome them as you have. And you're going to be great. So thank you once again. And it's been very motivational to have you here today. Okay, folks, as mentioned also, the Patreon community, I think you should really consider joining it if you are in an intermittent fasting lifestyle. It's been fantastic for the members. I can't tell you how much it's grown over the last 6 months. It's been very popular. We've had people from all over the world coming in and sharing their stories in the Zoom meetings, helping each other with accountability. People have been buddying up. We've had some people meet up for coffee and that sort of thing in their own areas. It's been fantastic. So that's the Patreon community. There's also bonus content in there, bonus podcasts, audio series on everything about IF, and there's support for you on a weekly basis in that Patreon community. Okay, folks, until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.